This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
If you want to follow along in your Bibles, it would be a blessing, I believe. But you can go ahead. Our scripture reading earlier was in Matthew, but we're going to be in a bunch of different places here as we look at the peace of God. You can open up to Isaiah chapter 42. Just stick your finger there, and we'll go there in a second. We've been going through this Advent season, and like I mentioned, the first was the prophecy candle of hope. And if you remember, we looked about how God gives us prophecy in the Bible, events about the future, to give us hope so that we can press forward with what God wants us to do now, knowing what's going to happen in the future. And then the second candle was the Bethlehem candle of faith. And if you remember that Bible verse that says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, if you're small town, big city, country mouse, city mouse, it does not matter. With faith in God, believing that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, believing and putting all your trust in Him, He singles you out, He blesses you individually, He uses you in the world for His purposes by faith. Then we had the shepherd's candle of joy, and we looked at how America, our society, needs the joy of the Lord. And that joy is only found in the manger, in Jesus Christ. And that joy sustains us through our difficulties, sustains us through our pandemics and mandates and jobs being on the line, nefarious government decisions. The joy of the Lord will sustain us through that. If we don't have the joy of the Lord, our joy is in the things of this world, and when the things of this world is threatened or taken away, the joy of the Lord is threatened and taken away. Or our joy is. This morning, we come to the angel candle of peace. And, you know, I approached this message and I thought, I don't think the world needs peace right now. So maybe we'll preach on something different, especially in the Middle East. There's this female journalist who in Jerusalem heard about a very old Jewish man who had been going to the Wailing Wall to pray twice a day, every day, for a very long, long time. So she went to check it out. She went to the Wailing Wall, and there he was. She watched him pray for about 45 minutes, and when he turned to leave, she approached him for an interview. Sir, how long have you been coming to the Wailing Wall and praying? And he looked at her and he said, for about 60 years. 60 years? That's amazing. What do you pray for? He says, I pray for peace. I pray for all the hatred to stop. And I pray for all our children to grow up in safety and friendship. And she looked at him and said, how do you feel after doing that for 60 years? And he looked at her and he said, like I'm talking to a wall. <laughs> 700 years before Jesus was born, there was a man anointed by God, inspired of the Holy Spirit, who wrote down on a piece of parchment, unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and for those who can see, Prince of Peace. 700 years before Jesus was born. And those 700 years were chaotic. 2,000 years ago, the Prince of Peace came. As a baby in a manger, Jesus Christ came to this earth. The Son was given. That was prophecy. 700 years. It was told. He's going to come. 2,000 years ago, 700 years later, He came. And the angels were very happy about it. And they sang, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. They proclaimed His name will be Jesus, as you just heard. He will save His people from their sins. They were very happy about it. And you know why they were happy? Because imagine you're one of the angels right now, or in that day. Now, angels are created beings, and they don't die. They'll carry on forever. So imagine you were a created angel, and you saw God create the world, or at least you were part of that creation, and then you saw God create Adam and Eve, and you saw Adam and Eve fall, and they sinned. And the world became dark and corrupted in all these years. And you heard the promises that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And all these promises that, that God provides an ark, that anybody who finds refuge in the ark will be saved. And you hear these promises that, Abraham goes to sacrifice his son Isaac, the Lord says, no, I will provide a sacrifice. And you hear the promise of unto us a child is given unto your angel. And you're thinking, the day is going to come when the Prince of Peace will come. And then the day came. You probably didn't know about it exactly when it was going to happen. And then the day came and you're just very happy about it. And you say, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Prince of Peace has come, and we're 2,000 years later, and we have a world of peace and harmony, and everything is just wonderful. What gives, Isaiah? What gives, angels? Where's the peace? Did God lie to us? No. There's a problem, I think, with our understanding of peace, especially in our day and age. Especially in our day and age. The word peace is used to describe to join together as a whole, wholeness. And when you hear the word peace in your day and age with the people you work with, that's not what's being described. Modern peace suggests that everyone just accept everyone and embrace everyone's ideologies and leave everyone to do their own thing. That's not peace. That's chaos. Peace is not everybody disjointed doing their own thing and trying to get along. Peace is everybody united in heart, mind, purpose, and practice. When you see a coexist bumper sticker, that's not peace. That's chaos, even if it's civil chaos. Telling everybody to just get along is wildly ignorant of the human condition. The human race is a terrible race. We're a burden to the universe. We put ourselves in a moral mess. But the Prince of Peace was promised. What happened? Well, look at Isaiah 48, chapter 48, verse 22, if you will. The Bible tells us here, in very stark and troubling words, in chapter 48, verse 22, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. That verse doesn't get preached too often in our day and age. There is no peace for the wicked. So, let's just take a grand big picture. If you have a governmental structure, overarching a country, And at its core base, that structure and the people that make up that structure are wicked people. There's no peace. But you know, we as Christians have to realize something. Because we often might say to ourselves, you know, well, that's not me, I'm a good American. This verse is a verse for Marxists. Well, we're going to hear the words of peace, we're going to rejoice, but we have to hear something right now that might turn our eggnog sour. Turn to Romans chapter 3, if you will. And by the way, that's a big deal for me because I take eggnog as an IV drip during this season. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. We think to ourselves, okay, there's no peace for the wicked. That's them. That's out there. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 9, what shall we say? Are we better than they? Not at all, for we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks. Paul is saying everyone, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And down to verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the Bible says there is no peace of the wicked. Then the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, there's no peace for anyone. However, you know, it was a passage like this that absolutely capsized my fake religiosity that I was going through for about 4 years, okay? I was going to church, doing the thing, but I was just doing my own thing. After I left the building structure, I'd go home and I'd do my own thing. And then I heard a preacher preach this, and I thought to myself, I realize it, I am not just a victim in an evil world, I am a perpetrator. I'm not just a victim to the chaos. I am a cause. I was like most people. I didn't think I was all that bad. I thought I was a decent person. But I was using my own standard to define how good I was. And the Bible gives us God's standard that He's going to judge the world in. And God is perfect and holy and cannot dwell with anyone who has sinned. And the Bible says all have sinned. And millions of dollars and hours are spent trying to create a more peaceable world. Yet the majority of the cases, these efforts leave God out of it. So this is the point. We have a peace problem because the world is trying to create a horizontal peace. But the Bible teaches us that first there has to be a vertical peace. There has to be a peace between God and man. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape. What the Bible is saying is that in the end, people will be gathering together, holding hands, singing kumbaya, and sudden destruction will come on them. Because they're seeking this kind of a peace without here. They want a peace without God. We have to get a little bit more sour in our eggnog before we get replenished with the delicious eggnog. Charles Spurgeon preached a sermon. These sermons don't get preached anymore. He preached a sermon. He was called the Prince of Preachers in his day. The Lord used him to bring multiple millions, I want to say, of people to Christ. And he preached a sermon called Turn or Burn. And he says this, "No man whose reason is sound and whose mind is in a healthy condition can imagine a God without justice. You cannot suppose a king without it to be a good king. You cannot dream of a good government that should exist without justice, much less of God, the judge of king, the judge and king of all the earth, without justice in his chest. To suppose him all love, no justice, were to undeify him and make him no longer God." Isn't the Bible true? The Bible tells us there is no peace for the wicked. Maybe someone here this morning, or maybe somebody who will listen online, doesn't have peace with God. Under the judgment and wrath of God because of sins, the Bible says hell is reserved, and there is no way of peace in hell. The Bible, we just read in Romans 3, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God in their eyes. This hit me. You got to realize, this hit me so hard. That's not a good place to be. And there was a point in time before I came to know Christ, Before I heard these words, I was doing my own thing, seeking my own pursuits, finding my own pleasures. There came a point when I became so distraught internally, because I had all these good things that I was doing and pleasurable things. And I remember sitting in a car in a parking lot in front of my friend's house that I was about to go in and do all sorts of things. And I was sitting in the car and I was so distraught, because I couldn't understand why I felt so empty, hollow, and disgusted with myself. And I remember taking a lighter, because I used it often, and I remember taking a lighter, and I do crazy things like this. I would just take a lighter and light it with the flame until the metal got hot, red hot, and I'd take it and I'd just stick it in my arm until it cooled off. And then I would do it again. And I'd stick it in my arm until it cooled off. It was like I was trying to just distract myself with the pain. And it was because I didn't have peace. And unless God did something, I was doomed. And then you read, and maybe somebody here feels the same way, I don't know. But then you read a Bible verse like this. "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel of the Lord said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was a multitude of the angels in the heavenly host praising God and singing, 'Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" That is the message of Christmas. God's gift of peace to you as an individual soul. That's what it's about. So that you can be at peace with God, He took initiative to make things right with you and with me. And the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, He came and He preached peace to you who are far and to you who are near. For through Him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Through the peace that God is giving through Jesus, you have access to God. You have access to an inner soul serenity with your Maker. Yes, the world may look like the Prince of Peace isn't doing his job, but right now, his primary goal is to bring peace between you and him. We just heard read from our sister Sandy. She came up here and she read that the angel said the name of the child will be Jesus, which is Yeshua, Joshua, which means the Lord saves. That's the meaning of the name, or God is salvation. And the angel said, you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then, okay, after that vertical peace has been made, after God has done the initiative and taken your soul and my soul reunited with him, then comes the horizontal peace. We want peace between our family members. We want peace between our co-workers and our towns and our societies and our countries and our world. But if we forget this and try to seek this, it won't happen. Three of the most beautiful words in the Bible, three of the most beautiful words are found in Romans chapter 5. You can underline this in your Bible, even if it's a pew Bible. Romans chapter 5. Most beautiful words. Three words. First verse. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have, there it is, peace with God. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And go down to verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's the most beautiful picture, that we can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. When you come to God through Jesus Christ, asking God to forgive you, cleanse you, purify you, save you from your sins, he mercifully saves you, cleanses you, and purifies you, and forgives you, and gives you a clean heart and a clean slate. And once, when all of creation that surrounds you was working against you in wrath and judgment, now God sees to it that all of creation around you works together for your good as a child of the living God. All of a sudden, the underlying uncertainties of your soul are obliterated. All of a sudden, the strong desire for distraction and noise from devices is squelched. All of a sudden, the impulse to ignore God's gaze upon your life is transformed into an embrace of His divine arms. That is peace. And do you have that peace with God this morning? Do you have that peace with God? In 1955, there was a man, Nicholas Ridley. He was burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ. On the night before his execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber to be of assistance and comfort. Nicholas declined the offer and replied that he meant to go to bed and sleep as quietly as he ever did in his life. Where does that come from? That comes from peace with God. Have you ever woken up one morning and said, it's going to be okay today. God, you are with me. Where does that come from? That comes from peace with God. John Wesley, founder of the Methodists, before his conversion was on a boat with a bunch of Moravian Christians. Every night, the Moravians would be down on the deck singing and praising God. And one time, there was a storm that swept through. The sail ripped. They all thought they were going to drown. The Englishmen on top were screaming and screaming for their dear lives. And the Moravians were down there singing hymns to God. And John Wesley approached them and said, weren't you afraid? Weren't you afraid? Your women and children, weren't they afraid? The Moravian responded, our women and children are not afraid to die Where does that come from? It comes from peace with God. And sometimes we as Christians even lose that sense of peace. We drift from God. We neglect our daily devotionals. We stop reading God's Word, meditating on His promises. We stop conversing with God in prayer. And the Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. That's a wicked act. It disrupts that peace. But if we continue with Him and we nourish our relationship with Him daily, moment by moment, we have the peace of God which surpasses understanding. Now, peace with God, then comes the horizontal peace, you see. Everybody has seen the Mississippi River. When I first came to Wisconsin, I'd never seen it before. Never seen the Mississippi. And we were going to Dubuque, and I was driving through, and we were approaching this bridge, and there's the Mississippi. I was so excited. It was beautiful. And then somebody told me later, did you know that the Mississippi begins up north as a little bubbly brook? It's a little spring. I never went up there to verify, but I believed it. A little bubbly spring started, and the Mississippi comes. Now, I want to say something here. Yes, we all individually need peace with God, but what that does is it causes us to be individual bubbling brooks. And as we as believers go into our world with that peace, the Prince being the Prince of Peace of our hearts, we all add, and soon there is a peace like a river that infiltrates our world and grows in our society. And I think the problem is often when we look at our world, yes, He is the Prince of Peace, but the reason is that we are not joining together as believers with the peace of God to move forward with His will. And so instead of being a mighty river of the Mississippi, we're all just bubbling brooks all over the place that's just soaking into the earth and going nowhere. But we have to find peace with God first. Once that peace comes, then the influence of Christ in your life permeates throughout. We look forward to a day when God will come in and remove all the wickedness and establish a perfect kingdom of peace where He will be a Prince of Peace forever. And the climax of the angels, peace on earth, goodwill to men, will be true. But until then, do you have peace with God this morning? I close with a story. There's a woman who's on her deathbed. And a minister comes to her and tries to break the news to her as gently as he could. He said, "They think your time is short." "Yes," she said, "I know." And he says, "Have you made your peace with God?" And she said, "No, I haven't made my peace with God." And he looked at her and he said, "Aren't you afraid to die?" "No." He said, "Do you realize in a few hours that you're going to meet God?" She said, "Yes." "And you have not made your peace with God?" "No, and I'm not going to." "Why?" he said to her. "Why?" She said, "Listen, I know I'm dying, and I have no fear of meeting God, because I am resting in the peace which Jesus Christ made for me. The atoning death upon the cross. I don't have to make my peace with God. He made it for me. And I'm resting in His peace. He made it available for you. What greater gift to receive this Christmas than the peace of God that He made available? He died on the cross for your sins and my sins. So that rather than feeling disjointed, at odds with Him, and wanting to just do anything you can to distract yourself, He wants you to have an individual relationship with Him where you can know Him, you can speak to Him, and He can use you in this world Do you have that peace? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I pray, Lord, the same peace that you gave to me 11 years ago, I pray that you would give it to everyone here. And if someone knows in their heart that they are not at peace with you, you would bring it to them now. That they would say to you, Lord, I am a sinner. I am wicked. I don't have peace. Forgive me of my sins. Change me. Break the chains. I ask that you'd save me from my sins. Father God, for all of us, I pray that we would leave here and take the peace that we have received, and like a spring of living water, we would go into our world and bring that peace with us, pointing people to Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. Looking forward, O Lord, we look forward, O Lord, we look forward to that day where the world will be established in total and complete peace. Until then, use us, help us. In your name we pray. Amen.